Praise the Lord. He is worthy. Amen. Amen. You can have your seats for a moment. Thank you, musicians. Just glad to be in the house of God this morning. And it's a little warm here, so I'm going to take my jacket off right away. Amen. Not that I don't anyway, but amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Eli, it's a little adjustment to holding the microphone here, but praise the Lord. We'll make do this morning. Certainly glad to be back in the house of God, but glad to be back in good health. Amen. You know, I think the last time I stood here, I had a 104 fever and chills, and then I spent a week in bed after that. So certainly don't want to repeat that. But I believe those were the marching orders that I got from the Holy Spirit. So that's what we did. Amen. And just thankful that many were afflicted, but that too came to pass. Amen. And God is our healer, and He continues to be our healer. Amen. Well, we just saw several visitors in the midst this morning. Just want to welcome you. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And just make yourselves at home, and we're interested in glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Not interested in magnifying any man, ministry, group, whatever. We're interested in glorifying Him, drawing closer to Him, and preparing for His soon coming. Amen? Amen. And certainly we want to remember our pastor, Brother Baker, who's traveling, and I believe they're just wrapping up meetings there in South Korea. Many of you probably have seen some of the pictures and seen, that it's a humble little work, but believe God is in the humble and simple things. He's not in the great, loud, glamorous things. He's found in simplicity. Amen. And His people have always been a humble people. His people have always been the people that have come with needs and the ones that the higher class looked down on, and the common people heard Him gladly, the Bible says, right? So, amen. We don't judge success, or we don't judge, whether God is moving in something by sizes of crowds or anything like that, just by the leading of the Spirit. So, God can take one person and set that whole country on fire. So you never know what God is doing there, and just believe that those brothers are led of the Lord, and believe there's going to be testimonies from that as well. Amen. Well, do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. If you could stand with me, we'd like to invite you to turn to the Scriptures. This morning, maybe we'll do a little less preaching, save maybe some of the preaching for tonight. But we do have several Scriptures and things that I'd like to share with you. My subject this morning is From Glory to Glory. And I'd like to start reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you are planning on coming, if you're a youth and you're planning on coming to the youth camp, please make sure you get that registration in. There's more forms back there by the library on the table. If you need a form, you can always get them off the website, www.lovedivinefellowship.com. And make sure you get that in quick, and we're getting a nice response from out of town, so we want to make sure that everyone local has a chance to an opportunity to come as well. How many of you are going to be in prayer for those meetings? Amen. That's the most important thing that you can do is pray and just seek God and lift up those young people, lift up the ministers that are going to be there, and just keep that before the Lord in prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'd like to start reading in verse 12. Paul says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." In other words, we're not speaking in mysteries anymore. We're not speaking in symbols or mysteries. We're giving it to you straight. He says, "Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look at the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all this morning, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And also I'd like to read in 1 Peter 5, just the first verse. Peter says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Amen. Now let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we're grateful once again to come to this house of worship, Father. Lord, we're looking to you this morning, Lord, to speak to our hearts, Lord, to minister your word to us, just exactly what we have need of, Lord, whether it's a physical need in our body, Lord, whether it's a spiritual need, Lord, an emotional need, Lord, something that is in our spirit that needs to be dealt with. Or Father, we certainly know that our souls need to be fed this morning. So Lord, we're looking to you, Lord, to provide all that we have need of. I pray that you would take complete control, Lord, of me and everyone in this building, Lord. Have your way and have the preeminence this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Say just what needs to be said, Lord. We are listening for your voice, Lord. We're not looking to any man, any person, Lord. As I said earlier, we're only looking to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would manifest your word in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. From glory to glory. The Bible says, Paul said that we are beholding the Lord as in a glass. We are beholding the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into that same image from glory to glory. Now, we know that many scriptures we find in the Bible are of manifold meanings, right? They have multiple meanings, multiple layers to their meaning. And Paul here, if you read earlier in this same chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find that he's speaking about the transition from the law unto grace. Amen? And so we can understand that when he's talking about moving from glory, and he says there was glory found in the law of God because it came from God. So there's a portion of God's glory shining through the law. Amen? But he says, but now we are moving from that glory unto a greater glory. That's the glory to glory. Amen. Now, what is glory? Glory is God's majesty. It's his splendor. Amen. It's his excellence. It's something that's on display that shows forth and shines out. And you could say, I'm going to give God glory. You're giving honor and praise to his excellence or to his splendor. Amen? It's an exalted state. So when we use that word glory, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that majesty of God. It's not simply his character. It's actually what shines forth out of his character. It's the majesty and the splendor that comes forth because of his character. Amen? Does that make sense this morning? Amen. I don't want to get too wrapped up in the dictionary here this morning. But Paul, as a master craftsman, he's laying the foundation of the church and establishing the church on sound doctrine, and he's changing dispensations from law unto grace. Amen? We know that a master stonemason, it must take a master to actually turn a corner. Because when you're laying brick or you're laying some sort of stone, once the course is set, an inexperienced man can follow the course that's already been set. He can follow the line, and just as long as he stays within what has been set before him, he will properly lay down that course of stone. But when it comes to making a change or a turning a corner, it takes the master to understand how that turn has to happen and to lay forth the course for the next to come after him. Amen. And that's what Paul was doing. He was saying we're moving from this glory of the law to glory of grace. Amen. Now, the other manifold meaning of this scripture is that we as individuals are moving from glory to glory in our own experience. Amen. Now, you know, because when you first heard about the gospel, that was the glory of God being revealed to you. That was glorious, right? You learned that you were a sinner. That was God's grace to you. Because if you didn't come to that realization, you couldn't move into salvation. And then you realize that he came to save you and he came to shed his grace upon you. Amen. That was glory. God revealing his glory to you and offering his forgiveness and showing his long-sufferingness. God revealing his glory. Amen. And then moving you into a sanctified life, where he began to clean you up and to move you from the appetites of the world. Begin to change your heart. Amen. That's his glory being revealed to you. Moving from glory to glory in your experience. And then when you are born again, completely converted as a new born again Christian. Amen. Birth as a new creature, as Paul said. Amen. Moving from glory to glory. And one of these days, the glory that we're going to move into is a new body. Amen. Amen. Those that have gone by the way of the grave will rise in a resurrection. Those that are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. And we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Moving from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Into the image of Christ. Now notice it doesn't say, I like how the Bible is positive. It doesn't say moving from failure to failure. Right? It doesn't say moving from one tough trial to another. Although in effect, that's what's happening. Right? You're not moving from one downtrodden day to the next. But it's positive. In everything that happens in our lives, God is receiving the glory. And God's glory is being revealed in us. Amen. That's what he's saying. Your life, hallelujah, your life, it may not look like it. You may not think it. You may look at your circumstances and everything that's going wrong. But your life, if you are a born-again believer, is moving from glory to glory to glory to glory to the ultimate glory. Amen. It's a progressive walk. Amen? Now, brother, sister, we serve a God who, he's involved in our lives. He's not absent. Amen? He's involved in our lives and he's working to bring us from glory to glory. As we surrender to him, his work is being accomplished in us. As we sang the song, he is the good shepherd. Now, I want to read you an excerpt from the book, The Exposition of the Church Ages. And there's, just bear with me here. It's kind of a little lengthy reading. But I wanted to use this to kind of set a foundation for where we're going this morning. This is out of the chapter, The Laodicean Church Age. He is the God of the Amen. He never changes. What he does never changes. He says it and it stands fast. He does it and it's done forever. None can take what he says or add to it. So let it be. Amen. He's speaking on that scripture of these things saith the Amen. Jesus Christ is the Amen. Right? He's saying, aren't you glad that you can serve that kind of a God? You can know exactly where you are with him at any time and all the time. He is the Amen God, and he won't change. These things saith the Amen. I like that. It means that whatever he said is final. It means that whatever he said to the first age and to the second and to all the ages about his own true church and about the false vine is exactly right, and it won't change. It means what he started out with in Genesis, he will finish in Revelation. For he has to, for he is the Amen. So let it be. Now we can see again why the devil hates the book of Genesis and Revelation. He hates the truth. He knows the truth will prevail. He knows what his end will be. How he fights that. But we are on the winning side. We, I mean the believers of his word only, qualifies it. If you're a believer, then you're included in the we. Are on the Amen side. These things saith the faithful and true witness. Now I want to show you what I find in the thought of faithful. You know, often we talk about a great unchanging God whose word does not change. And when we speak of him after that manner, we often get a view of him that makes him seem very impersonal. It is as if though God made the whole universe and all the laws that pertain to it and then stood back and became a great impersonal God. It is as if though God made a way of salvation for lost mankind, that way being the cross, and then when the death of Christ had atoned for our sins and his resurrection gave us an open door to him, God just folded his arms, stood back, and it is as if we majored in believing in a great creator who, having created, lost personal interest in his creation. Right? He's saying that many people believe that. Now, I say that is how too many people are apt to think, but that is wrong thinking. You say, well, you know, I don't think that God is just sitting back with his arms crossed. No, but do you recognize how he is involved in your day-to-day living? Do you recognize that every moment of the day he's wanting to walk with you and fellowship with you and to lead you and guide you in every detail of your life? He says that is wrong thinking, for God is governing in the affairs of men right now. He is both creator and sustainer. Colossians 1:16-17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You see, he is a sovereign God. By his own counsel, he purposed the plan of salvation of his own elect, which he foreknew. The Son died upon the cross to establish the means of salvation, and the Holy Spirit carefully executes the will of the Father. He is working all things at this moment according to the purpose of his own will. He is right in the midst of it all. He is in the midst of his church. This great creator, savior God is faithfully working his own right now as the great shepherd of the sheep. His very existence is for his own. He loves them and cares for them. His eye is ever upon them. When the word says that your lives are hid with Christ in God, it means exactly what it says. I am so glad that my God abides faithful. He is true to himself. He won't lie. He is true to that word. He will back it up. He is true to us. He will lose none of us, but raise us up in the last day. I am glad that I am resting in his faithfulness. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is the true witness. Now this word true, the same word we saw in Revelation 3:7, you recall it does not mean true as in contrast with false. Now we're getting right down to it here. Amen? I know we've been reading for a little bit, but pay attention to this part. It has a richer, deeper meaning by far. He's speaking about the word true. It expresses perfect realization in contrast to partial realization. Now, that's a mouthful. Hopefully we're going to understand that a little better. Now, back in the Philadelphian age, the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh. What great love that age manifested for him. it reminds me of those beautiful words of 1 Peter 1:8, whom, having not seen ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With them we rejoice also. We haven't seen him, but we have felt him. We know him now as much as our limiting senses can let us. But one day it will be face to face. That is for this age. He is coming at the end of this age. Partial realization will be made perfect realization or completed realization. Hallelujah. We've been looking through a glass darkly, but soon it will be face to face. We have been going from glory to glory, but soon it will be right in the glory. And in his glory will shine. We shall be like him, wondrously like him. Jesus, our Savior divine. Isn't that wonderful? We are complete in him. That is true. He would not lie to us about that. But one day, we will be changed in the atoms. Hallelujah. We will put on immortality. We will all be swallowed up in life. Then we will realize realization. Realization. Realize realization. That's a strange term to use, right? But realization, you think about when realization comes over you, right? It's that moment when you were driving down the road and you weren't paying attention to your speed, and all of a sudden you see the lights and you realize I was breaking the speed limit, right? You didn't know, you didn't have a, all of a sudden it just, you know that feeling, right? A realization like that is sometimes accompanied by a very sinking feeling in your stomach, right? Cold sweat breaking out of you. But what happened? Something just broke on you, right? You realize, oh man, I was just going along praising the Lord and all of a sudden now I'm speeding. You're fully aware of something, right? Maybe you've got some adrenaline pumping, something's, your body, your physiology's changing because whoa. So something that, a realization is something, if something's been realized, like you've heard of someone having a dream, right? And they've realized their dream, right? They want to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company since they were, you know, a little guy, right? That was their dream. And, you know, 30 years later, there they are. They realized their dream. They took what was in concept or in thought or an idea and brought it into real life. They brought it into reality. They achieved something. To fulfill or achieve something that's being anticipated, or something that's conceptual or being thought about or understood at a certain level, but then fully manifested and understood completely because it's real. It's become real. That's realization. And Brother Branham says here, we will realize realization. Those things that we've talked about, those scriptures that we've read over and over and over, and we wondered how could it be and how is it going to happen and what's going to be the, you know, what's going to be the trigger and what's going to be the order of it, and it will all be realized. It will all be real when we step into the final glory. But we see here where he makes it a point for us to understand that God is moving us. He's a shepherd that has started a work in us, and we're looking to the finishing of the work. But in between, there are stepping stones. There is glory to glory that he has to move us through to achieve that final realization. When someone finally realizes a dream that they've had since a child, they just don't go from 5 years old to 50 years old and a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. There are steps in between. And those steps have to be deliberate. Amen. He had to, you know, he had that in his vision, in his mind. So he probably, you know, he did well in school and he was serious about his studies maybe, or maybe not. Maybe he goofed off. I don't know. And then later he woke up and said, man, I better get with it. But at some point he made steps to prepare himself. Maybe he went to college and got an MBA because he knew he wanted to be a CEO. And so God, the great shepherd who's involved, he is moving us from glory to glory. Now, like I say, we have several scriptures I want to read. Let's move on to the next, Romans 8, chapter 17. Bible says, and if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, receiving of his glory. For I reckon that in the sufferings of this present time, it is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. But we see that in verse 17, it says, if so be that we suffer, then we will be glorified with him. Suffering is incremental. At least I hope so. You haven't had all the suffering in your life yet. I hate to tell you that, right? You didn't get all the suffering just at once. You're not going to get it all at the end. It's step by step through your body or through your life. You couldn't have handled it, right? And as you grow and mature, the things that you suffer, the things of life that you go through, they change and maybe they get harder as you mature as a Christian, but you move through suffering to suffering, that we may be glorified from glory to glory. Amen. Amen. As his glory is revealed in us, the final glorification is only the last step. It's only the last bit, the last little move of this great drama that God has us a part of. You know, the things that we're going through that allow the glory of God to be put on display. Jesus Christ never railed against those that came against him. Right now, he did certain things as he was led of the Father. He cleaned out the money changers out of the temple, and he did different things, but the character of Christ was the character of a lamb. And, you know, for us, you know, one of the hardest things for us is to display the glory of the lamb. It's one of the hardest things because the age that we live in is an age of people's rights. And a lamb, by its nature, lays down its rights. It forfeits its rights. And so for us, that's one of the hardest things. When someone is spitefully talking about you behind your back, and you find out about it, the natural response is to, I'm going to go straighten that out. Right? I'm going to straighten out them and every person they told, and I'm going to, right? But, you know, they're running you down. They're building, trying to build themselves up. They've got bad motives. They're talking about you. But the Bible says to pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, when you do that, you're actually putting the glory of the Lamb on display. You're allowing the glory of God to shine through you. Amen. And that glory, brother, sister, in any situation like that, you know, whether it's joy in hardship, faith through sickness, whether it's turning the other cheek when someone, you know, smites you, whether it's with words or physically, whatever, when someone despitefully uses you and you pray for them earnestly and you try to win them to Christ, when you put the Christ on display, that, brother, sister, that glory is actually what attracts people to Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be glorified in you. Now, that's not that, you know, we say, oh, lift him up. That's not the worship. That's not singing a song about him. Right? That's not, oh, we lift your name on high. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about living his life, letting his life shine. He's talking about walking in harmony with the Bible. He's talking about living your life in obedience and putting his character on display for the world to see. That's lifting him up. That's, in other words, putting him, when you say lifted up, putting him on display. That's putting that light on a light on a hill for all to see. Amen? All right, let's continue with this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice as a partaker of Christ's suffering. Because when you come through it, you'll have developed patience. And when patience has had her perfect, right? All these things begin to be developed in you. And then when the glory of God comes and shines through, you may be glad. Because you see him being glorified. Verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But it all depends how you react. Right? Reproach for the name of Christ. But he says, let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer. If you're just doing bad things and people are reproaching you, you deserve it. Right? If you're doing something that deserves and warrants reproach, that's not putting the glory of Christ on display. He says, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Wow. He put murder and thief in the same sentence as a busybody. Whew, my. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Amen. So, in the scripture in Romans that we read, it speaks of a putting on of immortality as the final step in glory being revealed. It's the completeness of the glory, glorification, or the glory of Christ being revealed in his church body. Amen? The final step. Not all the steps in between, the final step. But brother, sister, isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it? Isn't anything that we can go through in this life worth it? Amen. How does anything that this world has to offer, how does that compare to the glory of Christ being revealed in you? How does anything that Satan has to offer you this morning compare to the glory of God? To the glory that's going to be revealed in you. To the glorious body and the change in the eternal life that you receive through Christ. How is anything that this world can offer, how does it compare? What is Satan offering today? He's offering death. He's offering suffering. He's offering something that's nice and shiny and wonderful for a season. Something that doesn't have lasting power to it. Something that's just shiny and glitzy for a small time. And then it turns ugly and hateful. And there's death associated with it. What Christ is offering you is sufferings for a time, for a season. He's offering you, but he's offering you the Holy Spirit to give you strength to overcome through those times. And he's offering you gold tried in the fire. Amen. He's offering you his character. He's offering you a glory that will not tarnish. Amen. He's offering you something that moth doesn't corrupt. Something that's going to go on and on and on. A character and a life. Oh, hallelujah. Think about what he's offering us. And yet we succumb to the appetites of the world. Things that are designed to draw your attention away from the gospel. Things that are designed to draw you away from our Father. Things that are designed to make you feel sorry for yourself when you suffer as a Christian. Oh yes, Satan wants you to feel sorry for yourself. The Bible doesn't say feel sorry for yourself. It says glory in those reproaches. Amen. Rejoice in those sufferings. For there is a glory that's coming. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. God is in the business of transforming what is ordinary into something that's glorious. Amen. One day this old corrupt body that's just ordinary dust, it's going to be transformed into a new glorious body. Amen. But our portion is to be obedient. Our portion is to walk in harmony with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 11:4, this is scripture concerning the order of women and men, but we understand that it also applies to Christ and his church. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even as one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Excuse me. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. The man is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And the woman's covering is her glory. But think about that. If we put it in terms of the church, right? The church is the glory of Christ. Christ is the head. Amen. He is the image of God, the express image of God. And he's the glory of God revealed. And the woman, the church, is the glory of Christ. Amen. But only if she is under his headship. Only if she has her head covered, which is a sign of her surrendering to him, putting herself under his authority. Amen. Submitting herself to his word. Then his glory is her glory. Hallelujah. And her glory is found in him. Oh, it's just beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. So we know that, that most mainline Christian denominations in this day have compromised. We find out, we look in history and we go back through time, and it was early in the church history that the organized churches compromised on the Word of God. They refused the headship of the Word, instead taking their own ideas and creeds and things that they thought was correct, and they received that instead of the headship of the Word. Amen. Don't get quiet on me now. Amen. They've, in fact, come down to a place where we find in Revelation 3:20 that Christ has been put out of the organized church. He's standing outside, knocking, trying to get back in. This disobedience or this compromising on the word has caused the glory of the Lord to depart from the church. Now, we're not talking about individuals, and we're not talking about the true church of the living God, which is not any organized group or denomination or specific church. Right? The body of Christ is made up of individuals all over the world. But there are organizations and mainline groups and things that have compromised on the word deliberately, and the glory of the Lord departs where the word is compromised. Amen. In 1952, Brother Branham said that Ichabod is written on the church. He said on America, the glory of, in 1952, the glory of the Lord is departing, was the words that he used. America has rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ as a nation. The glory of the Lord has departed this nation. Not is departing, has departed. 1952, it was departing. In 1958, he said, Ichabod is on the church and the glory of the Lord has departed. So this nation has rejected the gospel. There were great sweeping revivals in the 1950s. This nation had a choice to accept or refuse the gospel. She has, as a nation, now that's not speaking of the individuals, right? But as a nation, she has turned her back on the gospel. And brother, sister, we are not sinking into a moral abyss. We have already arrived. The glory of the Lord has already departed. What we are seeing now is the effects of it as it goes on and is manifest. This isn't about politics, but it doesn't matter who's president. They're not going to save this nation. Amen. This nation has rejected Jesus Christ. Amen. So he used that term Ichabod. And if you're not familiar with that, you can find that in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4. We're not going to turn to it, but I encourage you to go read it. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we see that in 1 Samuel, Samuel the prophet was called of God, and God began to speak to him and use him. But at the time, there was a priest in Israel named Eli. Sorry, Brother Eli. It's all right. But he was named Eli, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Many of you know the story, right? And these two sons that were priests before the Lord, they were evil, and they did all kinds of evil and nasty things. They were just horrible guys. They were selfish. They just didn't care for the things of God. They broke any kind of commandment that you could think of. They were really out for themselves. They were worldly. They were lustful. They used the office of the priesthood to satisfy their own lusts of the flesh. And the problem with that was, I mean, there's a lot of problems with it, obviously, but the main issue is that Eli, their father, had an opportunity, or he was in a position to put a stop to it. And he did not. He refused to rebuke and to restrain his sons. And in doing so, he brought the downfall of the entire nation, because they caused the people to sin with them. Amen? Amen. He had power to stop it, and he chose not to. Now, brother, sister, we may not be able to stop, you know, the sin and things around us, but we can speak out about it. We can raise up a standard against it. Amen. You may not be able to stop it like he was, but you know the stern warning that was given to us that this end time group, this last age bride, would be able to discern the two spirits that are at work within the framework of the church, right? The true spirit of God and the spirit of error that is religious. But he didn't just say that we would discern them, but he said that you would discern and withstand that spirit. Eli knew his sons were evil. He could discern that. But he refused to withstand them. In other words, to withstand, it means not to give it room, not to give it any place. Just to do whatever is in your power to push it out. Whether it's just speaking out against it. Whatever it may be, but not giving an inch against it. But Eli chose peace and harmony in his family over the word of God. He wanted, you know, at the dinner table at night, he wanted his sons there. He didn't want to break up the family. And since he was a leader in Israel, all the people suffered. So it came down to a place where God spoke through Samuel to Eli and said, because you've done this, or because of your inaction, because of your refusal to stand up against this evil, because you will not withstand that spirit, he proclaimed that they would all be killed. And that the enemy would, and you know, the enemy would come and take the ark and all these things that happened. They went out to battle. Eli stayed behind. The sons went out. The ark went out. They captured the ark. The ark was where the presence of God stayed. They captured the ark. His sons were killed. I think he fell and died, right? They all died. And he began to mourn in Israel. And I think it was Phinehas' wife. She was pregnant at the time and ready to give birth, and she heard what had happened. News came back to Israel, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Ichabod. She said, because the glory of the Lord has departed. Now, Ichabod doesn't mean the glory of the Lord has departed. In fact, it has a much deeper meaning than that. What it actually is, Ichabod, the word Ichabod, the meaning of it, is actually a mournful cry of saying the glory of the Lord. It's actually crying out the glory of the Lord. In other words, it's gone. It's gone from us. It's departed. What a horrible thing. The Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence would come to meet with them, had been taken from them because of their disobedience to the Word. Because they refused to deal with sin in His own house, in their own lives, the glory of the Lord departed. Brother Branham said that if you enjoy the things, the filth and immoral things that are shown in TV and movies and things, he said, Ichabod is on your heart. The glory of the Lord is not there. And so we find, as I said, in America and in many churches, Ichabod is written on the door. The glory of the Lord has departed. Sometimes for us to move from glory to glory, we have to upset family relationships. We have to ruffle feathers. We have to stand up for what is right. We have to be looked on as the bad guy. We have to be looked at as that one, that immovable, why are they so stickler for the word? Why are they so stiffened? Why? Because you're contending for the faith. Amen. You don't want Ichabod. You don't want the glory of the Lord to depart. You want to move from glory to glory. You want the presence of God always with you in your life. Amen. As I said before, the church body of Christ is symbolized in the woman who receives her glory from his headship. And because she's under that headship, she becomes the revealer of his glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we could just read this. Actually, I think we already read that one, right? 15? Yep. Praise the Lord. So when we do walk in harmony with God's word, and we are born again, and we're moving from glory to glory, then we have what we would call the Shekinah glory. You've heard that term, the Shekinah glory. What does that mean? That word does not appear in the Bible, Shekinah. But we've heard it, our prophet used it, and it's a descriptive term, much like we would use the word rapture. Rapture is describing something that's told to us in the Bible. It's a catching away, right? And so we use that word rapture to describe what we've read in the Bible. Well, Shekinah is that way, only it's a Hebrew term that was used by rabbis to describe God's glory and his glory, the glory of his presence. It means to settle or to inhabit or to dwell. As I said, it comes from rabbis, and it's actually out of their writings during the Old Testament or on about the Old Testament scriptures. And the root word actually refers to a bird nesting. A bird creating a home. Finding a place where it's comfortable. Right? A place of rest. A place where it can settle or abide and dwell. So the Shekinah is the abiding presence of God. The Shekinah glory was once behind badger skins in the holiest of holy. That was God's glory and God's Shekinah glory as he dwelt among his people. That's why when they said, Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed, the Shekinah glory that was with that Ark of the Covenant was what was lost. But in the times of Christ, the Shekinah glory dwelt behind the badger skins in the temple, in the holiest of holies. Amen? You all know that, right? And then when Christ was crucified, the veil was split, and they saw into the holiest of holies. And they realized that the Shekinah glory was not there any longer. That Shekinah glory had moved and it settled on a people. On the day of Pentecost in the upper room, when they were all in one place and in one accord, that Shekinah glory came once again. No longer was it held behind badger skins in a temple, but now it was held in a temple of a flesh. Flesh man that was sanctified and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it was still the Shekinah glory. It was the glory of the Lord that had settled and was dwelling with man. Hallelujah. So that Shekinah glory is the glory of God that is with us. The Holy Spirit of God, as he moves us from glory, as he expresses glory after glory in our lives. He expresses himself as a great and mighty healer when he heals your body. That glory, that Shekinah glory, is then revealed through you. Amen. When he delivers you from a depression or some other demonic oppression. Amen. The mighty conqueror, the mighty deliverer that breaks the chains of the enemy. That glory is revealed. That Shekinah abiding glory now is abiding in your life. That's part of your experience. And it abides as part of your Christian walk and experience. Abiding in God's people, the Shekinah glory in the wilderness moved them from place to place in the wilderness. But in our walk, the Shekinah glory moves us from glory to glory, from trial to trial, from overcoming victory to victory. Amen. I want to read several statements here from the message. This is from Who Do You Say This Is? God had called Moses. He didn't want to go. Those prophets had such things to do. So it was a hard thing to do. They didn't want to be going out and to be scorned at. They wanted to have fellowship and go with the rest of them. So he's just expressing that Moses was a man and God calls his prophets to do hard things. Amen. Things that their flesh doesn't want to do. But you see, just like I believe, I forget what prophet it was, said, if I don't want to do this, in other words, but my whole heart will catch fire. God has spoken and I must deliver it. Whether they liked it or whether they crucified him, whether they stoned him, whatever they did, God had spoken his heart and he must say it. Not to be different, but to be obedient. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hearkening unto the fat of rams. See, it was in his heart. He must do it. It was his life. He couldn't hold it. There was something, a pulsation that pushed them. They couldn't bless it or curse it. God had so much complete control of them till he was their voice and their action. Hallelujah. He says, give me a church that's so completely anointed with God till their every action and move is thus saith the Lord. Amen. Is that what you want in your life? Amen. I want to be so surrendered to God till every move and every action is thus saith the Lord. You say, no, that's only for a prophet. No, it's not. The Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And if it's the Spirit of God saying it, that's thus saith the Lord. Amen. Every move and action, thus saith the Lord. He said, listen to this. He says, walk in that Shekinah glory. How do you walk in the Shekinah glory? That's what we've been talking about. Amen. That abiding glory, that abiding dwelling presence of God, walking in his glory. He says, I'll show you a Messiah, an anointed one of God standing upon the earth. So in other words, he says, give me a church that's got all of that and I'll show you a Messiah. Amen. Right? Messiah is anointed. He says, there stood Moses by this burning bush and the Shekinah glory, standing there anointed. He didn't know what he was going to do hardly. He was just obeying what the voice said to do. Stick your hand in your bosom, pull it out, take up that rod, turn into a serpent, throw it down again. No matter what anybody else said, he was doing it. He was obedient, right? He said, Lord, show me your glory. And I'm ready to go to Egypt. I'm not an eloquent man. I can't speak well. But he said, but you just let me see your glory. And he showed it to him. And he went down and took the same things. And to show that he was the anointed Messiah, that man picked up the dust of the earth, threw it in the air, flies and fleas throughout that dust and covered the earth. Who could create but God? The water took water out of the river, poured it in the bank, and every drop of water throughout Egypt turned to blood. What could do that but God? What was it? He was so completely surrendered to God's anointed word till he was the Messiah. Amen. Messiah means the anointed one. He was the anointed one for that age. Amen. Why? He had that Shekinah glory, that presence that was with him. And he was walking in obedience to it. Amen. And then the message the mighty God unveiled before him, before us, says them skins that was once on the badger, but now it's hiding the glory of God. God had housed behind it. It was on an animal, but now it's housing the glory of God. And so can your skin be changed tonight to be made a housing place for God, God dwelling in humanity. Look, the old badger skins, we find out inside of there was the word. And the word there also was the showbread, and the ark was sprinkled. And what was it? The Shekinah glory was in there. Now the word is a seed. It cannot bring forth until the sun strikes it, and the sun has to get upon the seed to make it bear and to make it come forth. That's the only way. You got to take the word seed, take the word of God in your heart, and walk into the Shekinah glory. That's pretty straightforward, right? Take the word of God in your heart and walk into the Shekinah glory. And when you do, it'll bring forth showbread, manna, that's only given for a separated people. The only thing that can eat it, that's permitted to eat it, is just the people who are permitted and knows it. And God said here, changing from glory to glory, you see, finally it comes back to its original glory. Changing from glory to glory. Coming back to its original glory. Now he's going to explain this a little bit better here. He says, now just like a seed of a morning glory, the seed of a flower, it falls in the ground. The seed of a corn falls in the ground. And what's the first thing that comes up? A little sprout. Then it goes to a tassel, and then a tassel to the original grain. That's exactly what the church has done. It's come from Luther, Wesley, and now back to the original grain. back to its original glory. Back to the glory it was at the beginning. The sun that rose in the east, it's the same sun that's manifesting the same in the west, changing from glory to glory. It changed from the pagan down into Luther, from Luther to Wesley, Wesley to Pentecost, and on and on. Changing from glory to glory, producing the hidden manna. And now it's ripe to bring him back exactly like he was at the beginning. His same ministry, the same Jesus, the same power, the same Holy Ghost this morning. Amen? The same one that come down on the day of Pentecost. The same Holy Ghost that's manifested today. We have the same one here this morning. The same person. The same Holy Ghost. The same power. Amen? He said from glory to glory to glory. And it's back to its original seed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same signs, same wonders, same baptism, same kind of people acting the same way. Hallelujah. With the same power. Come on, brother, sister. Same people acting the same way with the same power. The same sensation, he says. Amen. From glory to glory. From the glory that was in the church at the beginning. Now the same glory being revealed at the end. And the next will be changed from this glory into a body like his own glorious body. And we shall see him. And Abraham saw the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to glory. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just one more here. He says now, way back down in Egypt, God said, I have given you that land and all that's in it. Now, he never just said, I'm going to pick you up and take you there and set you down. They had to fight for every inch of ground they had. Now, this is a warning for us this morning. We're going to close on this. All right. This is our marching orders this morning. This is, you know, we've read a lot. We've kind of covered a little bit of ground here, but this is our marching orders, all right? He said they had to fight for every inch of ground they had. God, when commanding Joshua, he said, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. No matter what it is, how hard it is, how great the obstacle is, it doesn't matter. And brother, sister, that's true of the Church of the Living God this morning. Amen. If God is with you, who can be against you? He said it doesn't matter if it's down through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Oh, how Joshua could call Israel together and say, stand and watch the glory of the Lord. God is with his word. God made the promise. And that's why when we're standing on his word, we are on a solid foundation. Amen. We can take the, we can stand boldly then. He said, God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot sets, that's yours. I give it to you. Amen. Listen to what he says. If it's for salvation, if it's for divine healing, if it's for more blessings, woo, more blessings. Say, oh man, I got a list right here. A new car, this, right? Any blessing brings you closer to God. That's a real blessing. He says, if it's more blessings, if it's for peace. Sometimes, brother, sister, we just need a good infusion of gospel peace. You know, I mean, this is a crazy, frantic age that we live in. We're just running from here and there. And man, we got information flying at us. And we just need some, just some good old gospel Holy Ghost peace. He says, if it's for peace, if it's for anything, it's God's promise, make footprints. Amen. Every place that the sole of your foot sets, that I have given you for a possession. Look what he says. God promised it. God keeps his word. God's word is everlasting truth. I believe it. You believe it, brothers. It's time for us to make footprints. We can't stay right here in the same camp. The fire's moving on. That's the key. That's the key. The fire's, what was the fire? the Shekinah glory. God's abiding presence is marching on. It isn't staying here. The experience and the, we'll just put it this way, but the level of spirituality, how about that? That you walked with 5 years ago isn't going to cut it today. Amen? The fire has moved on. We're moving from, that was glorious. But we're moving from glory to glory. The faith that you had last month. Amen, that was good for last month, but now we're moving higher. The consecration in your life that you had last year is good, glory. But now there's a new glory to move to. Why? The fire's moving on. The Shekinah glory is saying, all right, guys, you got this part? Good. Now we're moving. Onward, onward, onward. He says, we can't stay right here in this same camp. If you stay there, what has happened? The glory of the Lord has departed. You see how that works? That's just the way it works. The glory of the Lord is moving onward. And if you stop, then the glory of the Lord moves on. You've got to stay with the word. That's the way it's worked with the church. Luther's message won't work now. Right? We receive it and it's part of our experience. But the glory of the Lord has moved on. And now Ichabod is written on those that stayed there. Because the glory of the Lord has departed. Amen? But he says, look, the fire's moving on. We can't stay right here in the same camp. The fire's moving on. So look what he says. He says, let's move on from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Look what he says. From Bible experience to Bible experience. Oh, I like that. He says, let's unfold and open our hearts and raise up our hands to God. He says, keep saying, stay in the Bible. Don't get outside of that, but stay right there. But what he's saying is that spirit, that Shekinah is moving from glory to, from experience to experience. But he says it's not just an experience. It's a Bible experience. It's something that is spoken of and is written and founded on the word of the living God. Moving from Bible experience to Bible experience. Amen? And that's how we grow from glory to glory. Not going off. Amen? Not a fanatical something or other, but staying founded on the word. But yet willing to move on. Amen? Not letting that glory depart from. Not leaving us behind. Because brother, sister, he's moving us. He's marching us. Amen? Stand with me this morning. He's marching us towards something. Amen? We aren't just here marking time. He's moving. He's got to. You're in a place right now. You are in a spiritual place. Like Israel, you are camped at a spot. Amen? You are at a place in your spiritual experience. But this place that you're at right now is not your end state. Amen? You just can't get comfortable and say, man, I'm going to build some houses here and we're going to stay here and this is it. This is not your end state. Amen. This is a, if God is with you and the Shekinah glory is there in the camp and man, it's wonderful. It's glorious. But he's moving us towards something. He's got an end goal in mind. And so you've got to be ready. You've got to be, you know, you've got to be flexible. You know, when they were marching in the wilderness, they couldn't say, oh man, you know, I really hope that, you know, maybe the Lord will lead us over to those mountains, that cool air over there. It's really neat. I want to go check that out, right? Maybe, you know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But you got to be flexible. You got to be looking to where the Spirit is moving. Amen. You know, when God begins to deal with something in our lives, maybe it's not our first choice of things to deal with. right? Usually it's not. Wow, you know, I didn't really see this coming. This wasn't my first choice for a trial, Lord. This isn't really the character that I was looking to develop in myself at this point, at this juncture in time. If you would have asked me, I would have had a much different recommendation for you. Right? But he knows what he's doing. He's moving you from glory to glory. And the reason that you're moving into that trial or that situation that you're going through is so that the glory of the Lord can be revealed in you. So that it can be proved again and again and again and again that the Shekinah dwells in your life. Amen. That the presence of the living God is among you. Hallelujah. The sermon that I was going to preach this morning before the Lord changed my thinking on it was to continue a thought that I'd taken a couple years ago about the shout of the king in the camp. And the shout of the king is the exhibition or the outward expression of his presence among them. Well, that's what the Shekinah glory is. That is what the glory of God being revealed through you is. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother, sister, one of those steps one day will be the final glory. Amen. That shall be revealed in all of God's children. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Musicians, if you'd come this morning, praise the Lord. Thank you for bearing with the long reading this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, for your presence, Lord, among us. Lord, that glory that was shown down on the church on the day of Pentecost, Lord, you've been moving us from glory to glory, restoring this church back to what we had in the beginning. Father, we're just thankful to be part, to be caught up into that work, Lord. And Father, Lord, as we each take a different step, Lord, in our spiritual walk, Father, one may be at one point, one at another, we're all at different places in our walk, yet, Lord, we believe, Lord, and we're trusting by faith this morning, believing your word that says we are moving from glory to glory. We are not a people that is predestinated to failure, Lord, but we're believing that it's glory that's being revealed in us. Everything that happens to us, everything that we go through, it's for a purpose, Lord, that your character would be put on display, Lord. The glory of God would be shown like a light on a hill. Father, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, whatever, anyone in this place, Father, we're all going through different things, Lord. Yet you are the ultimate victory this morning. We know no matter what we're going through, Lord, that we can turn to you. We can look to you, Lord. We can lean on your strong arm, Lord God. Lord, forgive us for trying to use our own strength, Lord. We're not the ones moving us from glory to glory, Lord. That's your work. Lord, we just want to surrender to you. And I pray, Father, right now, Lord, for anyone that's in this building, they're struggling, Lord, they're going through trials, they're going through things, Lord, struggling to try and overcome it, Lord, I pray that you would help them to surrender, Lord, to lift their hands and say, Lord, I give up. I can't do this, Lord. Lord, all I'm doing is I'm going to submit myself to you. Lord, I want to be obedient to your word. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand right here solid, Lord God, by faith. But Lord, I can't do it. You're the only one, Lord, that can overcome. You're the only one, Lord, that can bring me through this trial, Lord. You're the only one that can develop that gold, Lord, in me. Lord, you're the only one that can expose the glory of God in my life. Just surrender to him now. Lift your hands and say, God, I want to surrender. You acknowledge this is not my work, Lord. It's your work this morning. I can't do it on my own. I'm handing it over to you, Lord. He'll take it. Lord, I pray that you would take each one, Lord. Each one that's lifted their hands, Lord, each one that's surrendering now, Lord, according to your word, Father, I pray that you would come and move on that heart, Lord. Move in that situation, Lord. Take complete control, Jesus. In your precious name we ask it. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, who we represent this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're so wonderful, Lord. We're going to give you all the glory. We thank you, Lord, for your abiding presence this morning. We thank you for your wonderful promises, oh God. We know that whatever we have need of, we can come to you this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise, church. Oh, let's give him honor this morning. Let's lift our voice and say, God, you are worthy this morning. You are good, Lord. Thank you for your presence among us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's give him worship. Let's give him praise, not just with our hands, not just with our lips, but with our lives this morning. Let's honor him with our deeds and our motives and our actions. Let's let our hearts be prepared to receive more from him. Let's offer him a deep consecration this morning. Oh, just enter in this morning as the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. The abiding presence of the glory of God overshadows his church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just worship him this morning in your own way. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song. Just lift him up and worship him. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near.